is just filling you. The life of Jesus is flowing. And if you know that the Word of God is touching your heart, let it convict your heart. Because guess what? You're becoming more like Jesus Christ as your heart is fully devoted to Him. Amen to that? Why don't we go ahead, let's start off with a word of prayer. Let's come before our Father in heaven. Let's pray. Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for this time, knowing that this time is in your hands. And Father, as your children, we want to be here. We desire to be here because, Father, it's your holy presence that abounds in this very place as our hearts are ready to receive from you. Father, I pray that you truly have your way in this time. And I pray that there'll be no distractions, Father. Whatever the devil will try to do, Lord, I pray that all his works will be put under our feet in Jesus' name, and it is written, the peace of God will soon crush Satan right under our feet as our lives are fully devoted to you. Lord, we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praises. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, as you all know, we've been doing the sermon series. What is it called? Getting to know your what? Your spiritual armor. So we know we are down to the last two pieces of armor. But before we get into the next piece of armor, I want you to read with me Ephesians 6, 14 to 17. Let's read together. Ready? Go. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, which with you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And, you know, up until now, you know, Paul's description of the armor of God had been limited to items that we, what, wear, right? And so, you know, this is the helmet of salvation. We wear it, right? We put it on. Okay, it's this way, like that, right? And so that's one. The next one is what? The breastplate of what? Come on, yell it out. Breastplate of righteousness. And then you got your what? Your belt of truth, right? Got that here. And then last week we just talked about this. Got Croc shoes. That's all I could find. But hey, looks kind of like Roman shoes, right? Shoes of what? Come on, what is it? Shoes of readiness and the gospel of peace. Yeah, so that's what we talked about last week. And so today, wow, pretty cool, yeah? Okay, here. Okay, the shield of what? The shield of faith. And we know the shield is different because Paul tells us that the shield is something that we must take up. Do we just wear this? No, we got to take it up because just imagine if I just strapped it to my arm like this. Okay, I'm ready for battle now. Let's go. Is that what I do? I'm wearing it, right? Is that what I do? What does it mean to take up? Take up. You're going to pull it close to your body and you're going to realize this is the very thing that will what? Shield you and protect you because guess what? We have to make sure that we put effort in holding it up, raising it up, and realizing it will give us the protection we need as we stand firm in our faith. And when we use this piece of spiritual armor, our faith in God will shine brightly, and guess what? Everyone will take notice. You ever seen a Christian who is just filled with faith? And this believer says, no worry, God's going to take care of it. I'm praying, and I'm believing in God. You know, a person with this kind of faith, man, he's not going to be shaken. And you're going to realize wherever he goes, he's going to touch people's hearts. And people's faith will increase because, guess what? It's contagious, isn't it? To have faith that is huge. Faith that says, I believe in God with all of my heart. So first of all, we must ask this very question. What is faith? Well, I want you to look at Hebrews 11, 1. I want you to read that with me. Ready? Go. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So substance is defined as something that is physically tangible. What is physically tangible? It means you can touch it, right? You see it and you can touch it. Can we touch our faith? And it is based on solid proof evidence. It's something you should have no doubt. It's something that you know it's real. Faith, by definition, is not some hazy emotion without any grounding in reality. No, it is the irrefutable truth, right? It should be to you 100% real. If someone were to ask you, you really believe that stuff, what the Bible says? What are you going to say? I think so. And the person say, do you believe in it 100% or not? Will you say, with all my heart? Or would you say, well, most of it I believe. What do you think the other person's going to think if you were going to say that? This person's going to go, hey, you don't know what you believe. So I don't want to believe what you believe because you really don't know what you're believing. We got to make sure we know what we believe. Amen? So the world, when they are questioning what we believe, we're going to give them answers. Amen? And we're going to show to them what I believe is real. And what I believe, I know it is of the Lord. And if you tell them the truth in this kind of way, I'm going to tell you, they're all ears. They're going to say, please tell me more. You know, I asked my wife, Jonalee, if she knew a good way of how to explain this verse in Hebrews 11:1. It says, now faith is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And this is what she told me. I don't know if she read this in the book, and it sounded pretty good. So I said, I got to share this. Just imagine, okay, you wanted to bake a cake, okay? And you got all the ingredients together. Let's say, what do you need for the ingredients to bake a cake? Flour, what else? Sugar, what else? Eggs, butter, flour, yeah, and baking powder, or baking soda, whatever you want to put in your cake, right? So here is the question. The question is, before you even start to mix all these ingredients together, can you already picture in your mind what the outcome of this cake will look like? Yeah, right? Even before you put it all together, even before you put it up, before you do all the things that are necessary to bake a cake, right? In your mind, you're thinking, okay, this is what it's going to look like. You can even imagine the flavor of the frosting, the texture of the cake. I like mine super moist, by the way, you know. But can you already imagine all of these things? And do you really believe that you will be eating cake in about an hour? Or is it just a figment of your imagination? You got it all in mind. You got all the ingredients. You got it in your mind. Okay, this is the outcome. But you know what? Nothing is produced. You see what I'm saying here? Faith is saying, no, it's there. It's in my mind, but hey, I know in a matter of an hour or so, I'm going to be eating cake. And I'm going to be licking my fingers with all those chocolate.